Please get your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. I'll be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21 for our study tonight. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Not all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You know, when we read this passage of Scripture and passages like it, we have to understand that becoming a Christian according to God's word is an absolute amazing experience. And there is so much involved in our Christianity and in the lives that we live after we put on Christ in our lives. You know, it's more than just acceptance of having Christ in your life. Now, many people in the religious world will teach that all you have to do is simply accept Christ. And we have people who believe that once you do that, your ticket is stamped, your trip to heaven is assured, and it doesn't matter what you do here in this life or how close you follow God in your life, since you have done this, that's it. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that. In fact, you won't find that concept anywhere in Scripture. That is a man-made thing. I've, on several occasions, have been told the power and the authority of the sinner's prayer. And my response is always the same. You got a scripture for that? And they don't. Because it's not there. And you can look from Genesis to Revelation and you will not find it or anything that even leads toward that. There is the matter of hearing and understanding, developing a faith, a change of life, a confession of who Jesus really is, and being baptized for, and it says this more than once, for the remission of sins. Now, the Bible is very clear and very complete on this. This is how you become a Christian. And it's more than saying, Lord, I accept you. Please receive me into your heart. Because that's what we're told through their thinking. And of course, again, it's simply not true. Actually, when you become a child of God, it is a transformation. It is a transformation like no other. It is a process of conversion. It is taking something old and making it new. And I'm not talking about refurbishing now. Have any of y'all ever bought refurbished things? On one occasion, this was a Christmas several years ago. We all decided to buy new cell phones. And the refurbished cell phones are so much cheaper than a new cell phone. So I went and purchased four cell phones. Three of them I had to send back because refurbishing wasn't new and it was still something wrong with them. So this isn't talking about refurbishing. This is talking about becoming brand new. Paul says you're going to throw that old away. There's nothing valuable in the old things. Now we have to be new. So what I want to discuss tonight are some things that take place when we become new. You know, Paul tells us that we are now new creatures in Christ. So what exactly does that mean? And again, it means that you are new. You have been completely changed, completely converted. And this conversion must take place before changes happen in your life. You know, greatest intentions is a wonderful thing. But if you never follow through with them, they're worthless. So I'm not talking about intending to change or changes that we intend to make after we become a Christian. It doesn't work that way. The changes come when we obey the transformation, the conversion. You know, Mr. Webster, he defines the word conversion as turning, going in a different direction, changing from what you are to what you need to be. You know, Jesus referred to this as returning to the state of a little child. Now, we would never think of ourselves as being children again. I remember a lot of my childhood years, but I never would think of myself as being a child again. But this is what Jesus says has to happen to us. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 3 and 4, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Now, you know, again, we think back to our childhood days when our not only was our bodies young, our mind was young as well. And the mistakes that we made is evident because it's the same mistakes that every child makes in life. It always happens that way. And we would never think about, I'm going to go back and be a child again. But you know, that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. He said, look, you don't need to be the way you are right now. You need to go back when your mind was young and everything was so receptive to what you received. Receive that which is now right and put away all of those things which are wrong. Regard to salvation, it is a turning away from sin. It is a putting away these particular things in life and turning and moving toward righteousness for that which is correct. James explains it like this in James 5, 19 and 20. "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from his error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." So again, there's turning involved. There is a moving away from what you are and moving toward what you need to be. And there is a definite result in this turning. There is always a change of heart for those who become a child of God. It is an inward change in man. It is an attitude change in man from worldliness to godliness. We change our attitudes and how we think and feel about other people. And again, sometimes that's hard to do, isn't it? So this conversion is so important. It is a two-phase action. It is God's grace and man's faith. Paul declared in Ephesians 2, verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." God sent his Son as a Savior to redeem us from what we are and to change us to what we need to be. And we have been freed because of that sacrifice. We have now have the ability to change because of that sacrifice. Because we understand that the sinner has to know God's word, understand God's word, and believe it. And that's just the beginning of the journey. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we take that hearing and we obey from the heart that form of doctrine which God has given to us. That's the turning. We take our understanding and we turn and conversion takes place. Now, I want to talk about three things that happens to us when we make this turn. First of all, we have a new relationship with God. Not a refurbished relationship, but a completely new relationship. You have turned away from sin. It no longer controls you. Paul said in Romans 6, 16, that though you were slaves to sin, and everyone who is outside of Christ, like it or not, you are a slave to sin. Though you were slaves to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you have now become slaves of righteousness. You have gone from being what you were to what God wants you to be. In other words, you know, beforehand, Paul is telling us, you know, we were in the flesh. We were worldly. We were without Christ. We were strangers to God. We had no hope whatsoever. We're getting this from Ephesians chapter 2. But now, because we have turned, we have been brought near to God through the blood of Christ. We are now children in the household of the Heavenly Father. This is something that we did not have. We are now fellow citizens with the saints. This is something that we did not have. We are being joined together to build together for a dwelling place for God. Ephesians 2, 20 and 22. All of these things are part of that turn. It is part of that conversion. And it's all part of that going from what we was to what we need to be, because we now have a new relationship with God. Not only that, we also have a new way of thinking. Have you ever had to stop your process in midstream because there's something wrong with the way you were thinking? I guess we've all done that at one time or the other. As a Christian, we have had to turn away from worldly thinking. We have had to turn away from trusting in these worldly things to get us by. And you know, you'd be amazed at how many people just try to get by and try to do the least possible to make any kind of a change. That's human thinking. God says it has to be complete. It has to be a complete turn, a complete change. You have to have not only a new relationship with God, you've got to think differently now. You've got to think like a Christian. Paul tells us in Romans 12 and verse 2, do not be conformed to this world. In other words, don't think like you're worldly anymore. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, we're not going to make a turn, so we think like God. You know, that was one of the things that Satan used to tempt Eve in the Garden of Eden. You can be like God, when really she couldn't. Now let me tell you, my friends, we today, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we can be like God. Now we will never reach that level of perfectness in our lives, but now we can be godly. We can be complete. We can be whole because of the blood of Christ. Because now we are new. We have set our mind on new things, on heavenly things, as Paul tells us in Colossians 3 and verse 2. Set your mind on things above and not on things of this earth. When you set your mind on things of this earth, you are not in the mind of God. And we need to remember that because we have obeyed that form of doctrine, because we've made that turn, all things are new. We are new. God has changed us. So now we have a new relationship with God. Now we have a new way of thinking. And next we have a new way of walking. We are turning and going a different direction. Do you remember Jesus' teaching that we basically have two directions in which to travel? Now that may not come to logic thinking among ourselves, because when you get down a map, if you still get down maps anymore and look at them, you see roads going everywhere. They go in every direction. And you can go in any one of those directions. And physically you can. But spiritually, there are two. You are going toward God, or you are going away from God. You need to have, if you're in the world, a new direction to travel. And there's only one direction to take. And Jesus tells us this direction in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who choose it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and very few find it. And you would think, well, if I only have two things to choose from, it ought to be easy. Well, it's not. Because if you're looking at the compass, there are 360 degrees on a compass. There are only two ways to go on Jesus's compass. Either you're going the one way or you're going the 359 other ways. That's what it comes down to. There are only two ways. Now, you're no longer walking in the world. Now, you are walking in the light. You know, Jesus said, I am the light. I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And John tells us that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So now we have a new direction. We're going in one direction. We're always going in one direction. We're either going with Christ or we're going away from him. Paul tells us how to walk in the right way. He tells us this in Galatians 5 and 22. He said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And you have to put all of these together in order to walk in that one direction that we have to go in. In order to walk in that life that Jesus has given to us and told us to be. So now we have a new way of walking. And it's wonderful to know that we can walk that way. And that we can be new. Indeed, my friends, if anyone is in Christ, as Paul said, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. They're behind us. They're gone. And all things have become new. So I guess my question to you tonight is that in the choice that you have made, are you walking with God or are you walking away from God? If you're not in Christ tonight, you need to make all things new. Not just some things, not just one or two things, but all things need to be made new. And the beauty of that is you can do that. You can do it tonight before we leave this building. And to the Christian, you've walked in the light, you've walked down that path, and for some reason, one of those 359 turns turned you. And you need to come back and get on that one degree that is straight. And we want to give you that opportunity to do that tonight as well. If you are subject to the invitation, please come while we stand to sing.